not giving that much. You are crazy. You're out of your mind. And she said, well, that's 10%. I was like, no, we can't do this. And I remember putting that first offering check in that tray, and I followed that thing all around the congregation. I watched the ushers as they went out the back door. And I went home, and I thought, Lord, we shall surely perish. We can't make it. You know what? God got us through that first tithe check. The next one came around, and got a chance to ride a little bit easier. The next one came, got ride a little bit easier, and easier, and easier, and easier. And now looking back over the years, God has tremendously blessed and just increased in my life financially what I ever could have done without the tithe. It's just amazing how much he has blessed our life and what he's given. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is just, he's faithful. He's faithful. You know, you look at Psalm 24, it says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And he just lets us keep a little bit of it back. Amen. And lets us use it. This morning, we're going to be talking about stewardship of the tithe and I'm talking about the livelihood of our local church. And livelihood is defined as a means of living or of supporting. A means of living or of supporting. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is the spiritual aspect of our livelihood when it talks about spirituality. But when it comes to our finances, it is the physical aspect of our livelihood. God does want to use your resources and my resources to fund his local church. He's always done it in the past, and he wants to continue doing it. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find God's called out body of believers, always supporting the work of God. You don't find God going out to the heathen folk to get things done. He always went to his people to get things done. He normally uses people to do the supporting, and mainly by the tithes and offerings of his people. You and I could never outgive God, never could and never will. God will never be any man's debtor, never. He will always outgive anything you give to him. You say, well, I gave him my life. What more could he give you? Life abundantly. Amen. Eternal life, a life hereafter. So no matter what you give to God, God is always going to give it back. The earth is the Lord, there it says, and the fullness thereof. And so I said, you know, the tithe belongs to God. The treasures belong to God. The troubles and the trials all belong to him. And also our sins belong to him. So who wouldn't want to give to a God like that? You know, one of the things that you look at is a child that has gotten everything from his parent. And then that child is asked of that parent to give them something. You know, sometimes children can get grudging. I don't want to give that. Yeah, you think about it, I gave you a bed, I gave you a roof, I gave you food, I gave you this, I put you in school, I gave you the finest, I did this, and all I'm asking you for is a potato chip. And you got your lip curled up, a potato chip? Do you know it cost me 25 cents for the potato chips? Do you know it cost me $2,500 to put you in school? Amen, amen. And you know, sometimes we can be that way with God. God says, can I get this? You, why me? Why not you? Yeah. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. Let me give you an illustration here. Think about this. If you own a restaurant, everything in it belongs to you. A customer comes in and eats, but only leaves you a tip and doesn't pay the bill. How would you feel as the owner who purchased everything and was left with only a tip or a mere portion of the expense consumed? Many of God's people do this paycheck after paycheck, never thinking how it affects God's heart and God's house when it comes to the tithe. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. When I go into a restaurant establishment, somebody owns that restaurant. Somebody paid for what's there. And so it would behoove me to pay for my services that I utilize. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Deuteronomy says it this way. Hold your finger there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 14. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 14. And the Bible says it this way. God says, excuse me. Behold, the heaven and the heavens is the Lord's. Thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. So in other words, God says, it's all mine. Just like Psalm 24 says, it's all mine. Over the next several weeks, I want to challenge us with the stewardship of the tithe. Especially when you look at Deuteronomy 10:14, where it says, the heaven of heavens is the Lord thy God, so the earth also with all that therein is. We want to discuss the livelihood of our local church or the stewardship of tithing. And we're going to talk about these issues of the dilemma and difficulties to tithing, the definition of the tithe, the defense of the tithe, the duty of the tithe, and then the dividends of the tithe. Over the next several weeks, I'm going to challenge you on those areas. And the main thing that I want you to look at and to think about is the practicality of the tithe. Through all this, look at the practicality of the tithe. If you as a parent give to your child, shouldn't that child be obligated to give something back to you sooner or later? Yes, they should. They should. Sooner or later. If we have a God in heaven who gives us everything, shouldn't we be obligated to give him something sooner or later? I encourage you to listen well. And again, thank God for those that have tithed regularly and consistently. Tonight we're going to come back and we're going to answer some questions about the tithe, some common questions about the tithe. I was going to talk about tongues tonight, but I thought about it. Every time I start talking about tongues, we miss the next several Sundays. I looked on my calendar. Next week is popcorn preaching. The week after that is communion. The week after that is Easter. The week after that is Founders Day. And so I wouldn't get a chance to do tongues again until the second week in April. So I thought, well, why tease y'all tonight and then be gone for the next 4 weeks? So we're going to answer more tithing questions tonight and continue in that area. So I'm looking at the dilemma or difficulties to tithing. I want you to notice some common difficulties or dilemmas to tithing. Or some reason that make it difficult for some. Some say they can't tithe for financial reasons. However, I find that more and more of God's people are in financial famine because they have neglected to consistently tithe week after week. And if they don't have a financial famine, they definitely have a spiritual famine. And so they don't see the need to tithe. Some are ignorant to the tithe. Some are oblivious to the tithe. But some think, you know what, I can't afford to give that much. Just like the guy that we just looked at, amen? When I first heard about tithing priest at church, I thought, you've got to be crazy. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be out of your mind. I should just be able to go in and give what I want to give. There shouldn't be any kind of standard or prerequisites to me giving. How many of y'all thought like that once upon a time? Amen? Amen. If God is love and God is grace and I'm under grace and no more law, then it shouldn't be a law on giving. You find that the New Testament Christians gave a whole lot more than a tenth. A whole lot more than a tenth. And so if you want to really go in that direction, you'll find they gave a whole lot more. Some of God's people face financial famines because it's to increase their faith with the tithe and to trust God more. Sometimes God will allow you to go through a financial famine just to prove him. And to test him to see if he's faithful. By the way, he is. Say, preacher, give me an example. Did not Job lose everything he had? Was Job not faithful? Yes, Job was faithful. Did Job get back everything that he lost? He got back twice as much. What was going on? It was to test Job for a time. And everything was taken away. And Job, are you tied to your finances? Are you tied to your possessions? Are you tied to all this? Or are you tied to me? Amen. And when it was all taken away, guess what? Job had to confess. It's God I'm tied to. And God gave him back twice as much. I would say thirdly, some of God's people are in financial famine because they're living beyond their means. May I introduce to you, if your inflow is less then your outflow, you're in trouble. In other words, you make $10 and you spend $20. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You may be living beyond your means. You and I cannot live and exist on credit. We must have finances. By the way, our nation is in debt right now because we have put ourselves in credit too much. If we had to pay back all of the finances that America owes, we couldn't even pay right now. We're in debt to China to so much that I think China is going to be very, very instrumental, according to the book of Revelation, in the end times, because we can't pay our debts. And I think China's going to sit back and say, you dare lift a finger. You're indebted to me. You owe me. Don't you even think about getting in this battle. You stay out of this battle altogether. You know what America's going to do? Superpower and all. Shut up. Superpower and all. Just shut up. You are no longer a superpower because your power belongs to me because you owe me. We owe China so much money. We couldn't do a thing if we wanted to. I mean, you say, well, blame it on Bush and blame it on Obama and blame it on all of them. They all kind of accumulated the debt. And so if your inflow is less than your outflow, you're in trouble. First thing I normally say to somebody that comes in for financial counseling is to ask if they are tithing regularly and consistently. I find that I get more people in my office asking for financial assistance because they are not tithing consistently and correctly. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, praise God for the folks that will go out of their way to help them out. But you know what? If you're a God robber, I'm not obligated to help you out. I'm aiding a criminal. You say, preacher, I'm not a criminal. What would you call the person that robs God? Preacher, we don't like it when it's put that way. Well, how's he going to put it? How's he going to put it? But I find that's what often happens. People say, hey, preacher, can you counsel me with my finances? I say, are you tithing regularly and consistently? Like the man up here, they'll say, I can't afford to tithe. You know what? I'll come back. You can't afford not to tithe. You can't afford not to tithe. My wife and I got saved. We had bills galore. I mean, we had bills. We lived on credit cards and credit cards and credit cards. And we had all these bills. And I told my wife, I said, we cannot afford to tithe. But then we started tithing. And guess what? God got rid of all that accumulated debt. Say, preacher, how did it work? I still can't explain to this day. But I know it worked. We furnished our whole house on credit. I'm talking the whole house. We bought a brand new house. We moved in it. Well, we didn't buy it. It was a military house, amen. Amen. But it was nothing in it, no furniture. Uh-huh. My wife said, what are we going to do? I said, I got credit cards. Look. We went to every store that would give us a credit card and bought furniture. We bought beds. We bought stuff. We bought washers. We bought dryers. We bought television. We bought stereos. We bought everything. And all I had to pay was $10 a month. I thought, you can't beat this. Oh, we got to pay $10 a month for all this. This is great. Now, you're talking to a 19 and a 20-year-old kid that just got married, don't have a clue. We went out and bought a car, all on credit. And then began to use these credit cards till they were maxed out. As long as I could pay $10, I'm good. I had no concept of interest. None. And so I'd send my little $10 check in. I'd go to the store and try to buy something worth $20. And they'd say, you overdrawn. I said, well, I just put $10 in there. Interest was eating us alive. And as a result of that, my wife had the bright idea. She said, we just need to consolidate some of this debt. And they cut up all my credit cards in front of my face. I feel like my heart had just been cut out. There was all my spending power. There was all my buying power. There was all my liberality. It was gone in one scissor swipe. Wow. I had no money in the bank. I owed everybody in town $10. And I thought, this is not good. And we got saved. And the preacher mentioned tithing. And I did just like that man. I said, no, we'll just give him a tip. We'll just give a tip. Then I got convicted. I can't keep doing this. This is robbing God. Then I tithed for real. And God got me out of debt. Oftentimes I find that people in financial famines are not consistent tithers like we weren't. They may hit and miss, but it's not a practice consistently. The end result of not tithing is to put your money in a bag with holes. Go over to Haggai with me. Book of Haggai. You say, where is that at? It's in your Bible. The man of God challenged the people of God in their giving capacity. Haggai, chapter number 1. And they were reprimanded, and God told them, you know, the remedy is to consider your ways. Notice down there in verse number 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, chapter number 1 of Haggai. Consider your ways. You have sown much. In other words, you spread a bunch of seed out. And you bring in little. He said, you're not bringing in much yield from that. He said, ye eat, but ye have not enough. He said, you're eating left and right, but you're not getting full. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. He said, you're still thirsty. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. He said, what you put on is not warm enough for you. Notice this, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. God reprimanded the people. He said, you know, there's a big difference between a bag with holes and a holy bag. I've got a holy bag, but if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to have a bag with holes. Come up here, G2, for a second. I've got a bag. It's an ordinary paper bag. And so, Greg, I want you to hold that bag out. I'm gonna fill it up with some goodies here. Hold that bag out. Hold it up here. Up here. Hold that bag open. So now Gregory's got a bag here. I'm going to put something in it. Now, what happened to you? You lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. You got left 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You got about half left. Okay, less than half. God said, Israel, this is what it's like. When you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to put what you have in a bag, and it's going to have some holes in it, and everything that you put in it is going to come right back out. And Gregory said, oh, let me have at least one of them. Now, is he retaining something? Yeah, there's some retention here. He's got some residue in here. It actually smells like candy. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Look at all you could have had. You know, God does the same thing. He says, look at all, Christian, you could have had. But you put it in a bag with holes because you didn't do what I told you to do. I'm going to make sure that what you could have had, you didn't have. So out of all that, you got 4. I'll let you have 1. If you can put those back in me, I'd appreciate that, G2. Amen. What is God saying? God's saying there's a difference between a bag with holes and a holy bag. The average churchgoer is familiar with the tithe, yet the average churchgoer does not tithe consistently and correctly and frequently and finds themselves in all sorts of financial famines they need not be in, trying to make ends meet. CLA had this quote. It was called, Did You Know? CLA, Christian Law Association studies have shown that less than 10% of Christians tithe to their local churches correctly and consistently. Less than 10%. They say the same 10% normally responsible for 90% of the work consistently also. Wow. That is heart-wrenching. That is just mind-boggling. But if the statistics are true, and I think they are, that's a real reflection. A real reflection. This is a crude way of looking at it, but it's similar to paying our electric bill, gas bill, or water bill. We owe a debt for services rendered. Guess what happens when we neglect to pay our water, gas, or electric bill? They have the right to shut it off. And we would get upset and angry when they did.
Yes.
Come on, say amen. You know you would. Because now you got to go through the headache of getting it turned back on and paying a deposit and getting scheduled off of work to be there to get it turned back on. But they are justified in what they did. Why? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. We just get to use what God has. The gas and the electric is and the water is theirs. We just get to use it. And guess what? There's a price to pay for it. When it comes to the tithe, we owe it to God as a debt. It's God's. And when we neglect the tithe, God could and often will shut off some of the financial blessings. It's not always financial, though. But he can shut it off. Let me just give you a laundry list of some things here that the tithe goes for. The tithe keeps the mortgage paid, electricity on, gas on, phones on, building insurance paid, vehicle insurance paid, patch program books, patch hats, patch sashes, patch buttons, patch awards, patch snacks, VBS books, gifts, decorations, and awards, props, costumes, Sunday school books, discipleship books, Bibles, offering envelopes, source of light, school curriculum, scissors, glue, coffee, cups, maintenance, napkins, spoons, forks, knives, trash bags, gift pens, visitor tags, tracks, cleaning supplies, light bulbs, filters, toner, ink, copy paper, funeral supplies, wedding supplies, stamps, envelopes, papers, toiletries, building maintenance, vehicle maintenance, supplies, kitchen supplies, nursery supplies, vehicle gas, vehicle emissions, vehicle registrations, copies, bulletins, repairs, grounds upkeep, AC, trash collection, sewer bill, and how many of y'all like the pews y'all sitting on? And we could take those away and y'all could stand up like they did in Israel time. Guess what? Got to be paid for. The nice fans, guess what? Had to be paid for. Lights had to be paid for. Now, we could meet in the dark, but that would not do y'all any good. We could shut off the electricity. We wouldn't have any air conditioning. Do you know that in 2015 to 2016, we were down in our finances because not everybody tithed consistently and faithfully? And the faithful, consistent, and regular tithers kept all the above and much more going over the past year with a loss of over 40 people. We lost about 40 people over the last year. And the faithfulness of God's people kept all the above on. Imagine if everybody tithed. Just imagine if everybody tithed. Where we'd be at. Wow. That's deep. Well, we looked at the difficulties of tithing or the dilemmas in the tithing, why people don't tithe. And some think they cannot do it. They're in a financial famine. Their inflow is more than their outflow. They don't believe God and they don't trust God. But then let's go to the definition of tithe. What is it? What is it? The definition of the tithe. It's one-tenth or $1 out of 10. Terrell, come up here for a second. Now, this is for visual learners here. Terrell's about to get paid. All right, Terrell, you get paid. Each one of these represents $100. $100, $200, $300, $400, $500, $600, $700, $800, $900, $1,000. Out of that $1,000, don't go running away now. Now, if you're going to be right with God, how many of those should you give me back out of those 10? One. All he's got to give me is one. And it should be the first fruits. So now, should he go and give one of these to G2 before he gives me one? Should he go back there and give Brother Bruner one because he likes Brother Bruner? Should he go back and give Julianne one because he wants to be nice to her before he gives me one? No. Surely he can give one to his parents because they've given so much to him first. So surely he got to give one to Brother Hall and one to Sister Hall. Then he can pay God afterwards, right?
No.
As the Bible says, the first fruits of all that increase. So number one, I need to pay God first and say, okay, God, that's yours. And now I've got 90% left. Can he just go out and do what he wants to do with that? Not if he's going to be a good steward, he can't. He's still more of us required in a steward than a man be what? Found faithful. So if I'm going to be a wise steward with this 90%, I've got to think about, man, I've got a mortgage. I've got a wife and kids. I got a vehicle. Don't think about marriage yet, brother. I got bills to pay. I've got to be wise in what I do. I can't live off of McDonald's Happy Meals all the time. You need some real food, son. You got to go to the grocery store. And so now I've got to take this 90%, and it's not mine to do what I want to. It's mine to say, God, what do you want to do? Because guess what? The earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, which means I am belonging to God. This is still belonging to God. This I've given away to God. This he's allowed me to keep back. But guess what? I still have got to be wise with this 90%. Now, can I be frivolous and spend it? Yes, I can. But when I'm frivolous and I spend it, and if I don't take this out first, what am I prone to do? Well, God, I can't give you 10%. I only got 90% left because I gave one away. Well, God, I can't give you a 90% because I gave another one. I only got 80% left. Well, God, I can't give you 80% because I got 70% left. God, can I give you 10% of my 70%? Is that a tie? No. You can't try to do right doing wrong. But that's what Christians do all the time. Well, God, I had to pay these bills first. You know, Lord, you know how it is. God knows how it is. Trust me, he's God. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And he's also omnipotent. I'm sure he knows how it is. But you know what he says? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Prove me now herewith that 10%. And see if I not open the windows of heaven. Give you enough to pay everything you got. How many should I give you? He says one. I give you two. Amen. Oh, bless his heart. Amen. The definition of the tithe is 1/10, or it is $1 out of 10. It is 1 penny of 10. Whatever you gross, not whatever is left after everybody else gets theirs. You back the decimal point one to your gross income, and that, my friend, is your tithe. You say, well, preacher, why can't I tithe off of my net? Because it got run through the net first. Yes, sir. And Uncle Sam took his out, and that's not what you actually made. That's not a part of your first fruits. Oh, yeah. Uncle Sam caught the net already and said, okay, that's mine. Uh-huh. Now the rest is yours. Uh-huh. Don't catch it under the net first. What did I get before the net got put under it? That's my gross, and that's what I tithe on it. Why? That's the first fruits. The Bible says of all. A-double-L, thine what? Increase. So whatever you gross, not whatever is left after everybody else gets theirs. You back the decimal point one place to the left, and that's God's. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And just going to cover a couple more things here, and we'll be done for this morning's session. 27 and Leviticus. And God, again, stressing to them about their vows and their tithes. And verse 30, he says this, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord's. How much of the tithe? All the tithe. So would that include my gross or just my net? Gross. All is all. It's all of it. Every Christian has an increase of income. That has an increase in income should financially tithe. Amen. Accordingly, if you have a decrease, you still tithe the decreased amount. And we'll talk about that tonight. Say you lose your job. And now the only thing you get is unemployment. Do I still tithe? We'll talk about that tonight. Well, then I get my job back and I'm getting more. Do I still tithe? Well, now I don't have a job at all. I've got zero income. Do I still tithe? We'll talk about that tonight. And by the way, if you don't have any income, you are poor, poor, poor. I'm talking like Mexico poor. But I dare say I don't think any of us are in that boat today. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Let's turn over there real quick. Proverbs 3. Say, preacher, we haven't gotten to the New Testament yet. Oh, we will, trust me. Not this morning, but we're going to get there. Proverbs chapter 3. And in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon, being the wisest man, says this in verse number 9. honor the Lord with thy substance. So he says, you know what? You need to acknowledge God and reverence God with what you have. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice that. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor him with what you got, but also the first fruits. So he says, everything that you have, all your substance, but make sure especially that first fruits of all thine increase. What happens? Verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Of course, this is an Old Testament principle. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. He's saying you're going to have plenty to eat. You're going to have plenty to drink. That's good for you. Now, for us, principally speaking, we're not going to have the barns in that respect. But God will make sure we have what we need to eat and drink. Of course, it's Old Testament principle. So you got to apply the New Testament principle to that. And so honor the Lord. The tithe is often a good spiritual indicator of a Christian's consistent walk with God. Say it again. The tithe is often a good spiritual indicator of a Christian's consistent walk with God. When a Christian gets disgruntled, often the first thing they stop doing is attending church and tithing. Those are the first two. Let's starve the preacher out. You don't feed me, God does. Just like the king didn't feed Elijah. The ravens did. The brook gave him something to drink. King had nothing to do with that, although the stuff came from the king's table, I guarantee you. Amen. And so when you look at this, an indicator, when a Christian gets disgruntled, often the first thing they stop doing is attending church and then tithing. Why? Tithing is done at church. And so I've got to take it to church. And so I'm not going to come, and neither is my finances going to come. By the way, God takes it personal when we keep the tithe. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Familiar passage of scripture. We'll talk more about this one tonight. Malachi chapter number 3. Say, preacher, that's Old Testament still. I know it's Old Testament. But guess what? This is still a New Testament principle. Malachi chapter 3, and notice verse 8. Because the wording is, will a man rob God? Notice verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances. Ordinances is another word for law. And have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you. So God says, you know what? Do what you ought to do, and I'll do what I ought to do. Said the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? They said, what have we left off doing? And God says, will a man rob God? Now, I've given this illustration before. The difference between a robber and a thief is a thief doesn't want to get caught. So he will normally come under stealth at night. Or he will come, covertly where you can't see. Because he doesn't want to be caught out because he's a thief. A robber will rob you in broad daylight. I was watching the news the other night, and this guy had his little camera out there, and a guy came and rang his doorbell and took the package that was there. And then the same guy came back a moment later and rang the doorbell and asked if the person could use some handiwork done around the house. Now, the owner had a remote location device, and he could see the person, and he knew that the person that took the gift a little while ago. And he said, you know what? You need to put that gift back, too. Went back and got the gift back, too. Now, I don't know if he pressed charges, but he went back and got the gift back. You know what he did? He was a thief because he didn't want to be seen, although he was seen. A robber sticks you up in broad daylight at gunpoint oftentimes. Say, give me your cash. They're not a pickpocket. They could care less trying to stealthily get it from you. A robber robs you in broad daylight. They'll say, stick him up. Bank robbers. Why do you think they call them bank robbers? Broad daylight. And so God says, will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me. And God said, you held me up at gunpoint. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. As a result, you're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Everybody was in on it. By the way, I'm sure somebody in Israel tithed. But guess what happened to the nation as a whole? They got blamed for not tithing. The whole nation. Say, preacher, that's not fair. Remember the days of Achan, when Achan stole the Babylonian garment and the wedge of gold? And then Israel tried to go to war. About 36 people died. And when Joshua asked, God, what happened? You know what God said? Did he say Achan has sinned? No. You know what God said? Israel has sinned. He said, Israel has sinned. Do you know why we were in the financial condition that we were in last year? Because somebody's shining light sin, but it got blamed on the whole church. And so we couldn't do what we should have been able to do. And we had to take from savings as a whole. Now, that's not to make anybody feel bad. That's just a fact. It's just a fact. Now, for the ones that tithe, they're the ones that kept the boat afloat. The ones that were consistent and regular, they kept the boat afloat. The ones that gave a sacrificially above and beyond, they kept the boat afloat. Ultimately, it was God's doing because God blessed their faithfulness and their consistency. But when you look at this, he says, you've robbed me, even this whole nation. What's the remedy? Bring ye all the tithes, plural, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He goes on with that. So God says, you've robbed me. Who is me? God. Why? The tithe is the Lord's. He said, as a result, you're cursed with a curse. God is trusting you and I with 100%. Looking to see if we'll be good stewards of that which he entrusted us with. That 100% of the tithe is for the ministry of the church, of the ministers of the church, and the maintenance of the church. And God will take that 90% that's done, that's left, and do more with that 90% than we could ever do with 100%. Say it again. God will take that 90% and allow it to do more than you would have did with 100%. That's just God. That's the way he does it. And that little bit, 10% that you gave, you don't even miss it. You don't even miss it. You really don't. Somebody gave me something just recently, and I said, you know what? I'm looking forward to Sacrificial Sunday. I get to give. And I could have put it in my pocket. I said, you know what? Well, I got some money now. Whoa, look at this. I got money. Whoa. You know what I said? I said, man, God, you gave this to me. And so I'm like, I never saw it. I'm going to put it right in sacrificial giving. Why? God didn't have to give it to me, but he did. Now I'm going to tithe off of it. Again, the rest goes to God. Why? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You know, God is so good. And let me tell it to you like this. I just got an email the other day. Several of you have given to the scholarship organizations. And I just got another email just 2 days ago. Faith got awarded $1,300. $1,300. He said, well, how did you get that? God is good. When God gives me money, I quickly give it back to God. Here you go, God. Here, there's another worthy cause. Here, give it over here. Give it over here. Give it to God's local church. God is just good. And God has never let me down. God's been faithful. I would be remiss if I didn't give to him cheerfully. And so when that money came in my hand, I thought, right away, I said, I wasn't expecting it. Didn't even see it coming. And there it was. And I said, man, I can't wait to Sacrifice Sunday to get this. You say, preacher, if I got some money, I wouldn't do that. That's why you can get it. God knows what he can trust us with. God will take that 90% that's left and do more with it than we ever could. What do the offerings go for? It says down there, tithes and offerings. The offerings go for more maintenance and expansion. And you will see that that's given freely and willingly. Close with this verse, Psalm 37 and verse 25. Psalm 37 and verse 25 as we close. Folks, I'm here to let you know that I'm a living testimony of God's grace and God's goodness. God always gives, and he gives abundantly. Psalm 37 and verse 25. And I will say this along with the psalmist, verse 25, I've been young and now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, am I going to say that I'm Donald Trump? No, no.
Amen.
Am I as rich as Bill Gates? Not on earth. But I can tell you one, I bet you I got more in heaven than Bill Gates has. I bet I got more in heaven than Donald Trump has. I bet I got more in heaven than many of these other so-called guru specialists that's running for president. I may not be rich down here, but I guess what? I'm not poor down here either. My seed's not begging bread. Job was tested by losing everything. However, there is no account of him begging. Did you notice that? Job lost everything. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost everything. But you never find any scripture that said he was begging bread. You never said that he was on the street as a pauper begging. Never. How did he make it when he didn't have anything? God is faithful. And the same God that can take it away can sustain you through the famine to say, you know what, even through the famine, I'm still good. Even through the famine, I'll protect you. Even when it's lean, I'll still protect you. Many times this past year, I looked at the finances as they were coming in and as they were going out, and I thought, man, Lord, this don't look good at all. I said, how are we going to make it, Lord? He said, have I let you down yet? I thought, well, no, Lord, but I don't want to spend all of our savings either. He said, who said you had to spend it all? He said, you just need to weather the storm. It'll be all right. And I thought, well, amen, Lord, if you say so. And right about that time, got an extra offering that came in. And I thought, God is just good. Had another panic moment like that one time. And had a $10,000, I think about $10,000 offering drop in the offering tray. I said, Lord, where did that come from? Where did that come from? We don't have anybody that's got that kind of money. But God says, I own a cattle on a thousand hills. I know where the money's at. You just be faithful. You just keep being a cheerful giver. You just keep giving your tithe. You just keep being a sacrificial. You just keep giving, and I'll bless. I'll bless you personally, and I'll bless you corporately. And God has done just that. Folks, I don't know where you're at when it comes to the tithe, but I can tell you this. There's going to be some difficulties in tithing at times. It's not going to seem like it's going to work out, but you've got to trust God by faith. The definition of the tithe is just 1 out of 10. I don't care how you slice it. Your tithe is the same as my tithe. You may make more than me, but guess what? A tithe is a tithe. It's still 10%. You say, but my tithe is bigger than yours. You know, I actually had somebody tell me this. I refuse to give my money to the church when everybody's not tithing. I'm not going to be giving to charity or welfare like paying taxes and got to pay for somebody who's too lazy to get a job. They told me that to my face. This is not a welfare organization. And I refuse to put my tithe in that tray if everybody's not tithing. Friend, I can't force nobody to tithe. I cannot make anybody tithe. That's God's business. That's God's job. If you don't want to tithe, that's between you and God. Between you and God. And that person got mad. This is not welfare. I got to pay my taxes in and somebody else is living off of my money when they can go out and work. Hey, I don't read anybody's heart. I can't make anybody. But I know this. I give because I love God. I give because I've been saved. I give because I'm born again. I give because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I give because I want to be a cheerful giver. I give because my God's been so good to me, and he's still good to me, and he continues to give to me. Now, if you want to take your money and be gone, guess what? You're not going to break the bank. I've had people actually threaten, I'll take my tithe. And your point is? Well, if you don't preach this message and preach this way and do this, and I'm going to take my tithe away. Ooh, hurt me. You know, with an attitude like that, I don't need your tithe. Amen. Don't want your tithe. But you need to tithe. You need God's blessing. Folks, I tell you, we're going to be on this for a couple of weeks, and we'll look at New Testament as well. One thing I want you to understand is this is New Testament, and God wants you to do it because you love him. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to. Now, you won't be blessed. But if you love God and you love the fact that he saved you, at a minimum, you should tithe. At a minimum, you should tithe. And we'll talk about some other things tonight. I don't know if you're here today and you're saved, maybe without Christ, you need to be born again. God doesn't want your money. He wants you. Jesus died for you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loves you, and he wants you. Now, he's got you one way or the other, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He's got you one way or another. But you know what? He'd like to take you like this, up. He don't want to take you like this and go down. He's got you either way. Y'all know the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands? It's true. He does. The little tiny babies and the elderly folk, he got them in his hand. And they're going to go up or they're going to go down. But he's got them all. And he's got them all accounted for. So if you're not saved, don't concern yourself about money. Concern yourself about your soul and get saved. Follow God's love gift in Jesus Christ and get saved. And once you get saved, then start tithing. But get saved first. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and we're looking around. Father, I know this is a sensitive issue. Lord, I know there are good people in this audience that some have started tithing and fell off and have gotten back up and have repented and going on. There are some that maybe are consistently and regularly tithing. Lord, with an audience like this, there's going to be a wide range of people. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart and help us to be honest with you when it comes to the fact of the tithe. Lord, the New Testament Christians gave far more than the tithe. Many of them gave it all. Lord, work in our midst. Show us what you would have us to do. Lord, if there's one today that's not born again, save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. With head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. How many would be honest and say, preacher, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I'm not worried about that tithe, but I am concerned about heaven. And if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me, preacher? Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl? I'm not saved, not a child of God. I want to be saved, but I'm not sure about that. I want to be saved. Pray for me, preacher. Anyone at all? And Christians, how about you? Are you right with God in the tithe? Say, preacher, I was tithing and I stopped. Then start again. Repent and start again. Or preacher, I don't see how it can be done. It can be done. You just got to do it. Or preacher, you don't know my bills. I don't, but God does. Or preacher, I tried and it didn't work. You didn't try it consistently and correctly. God said, prove me now. You're not proving this, preacher. God said, prove me now, hear what saith the Lord. You know the best way he proved it? He stretched out his arm and died on a cruel cross for you and for me. And he that spared heaven's best can definitely do the rest. Father, bless in this invitation. I don't know the hearts and the minds of the Christians, but you do work during this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as I stand to our feet as Mrs. Dawson begins to sing and as the music plays. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe he's challenged you. Maybe something unrelated totally to tithing. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe it's just to say, God, help me to be faithful.